eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Go to the outside. Can he make a power run? He does. Steals the lead from Shimoda.
What a power move by Hayden Deegan.
And the Deegan fans, you can hear them going nuts. Red flag is out. We rarely see this halfway through a moto. That's going to change things in a hurry because Hayden Deegan had a huge lead. Let's do it again. Nana's going to jump for Shimoda this time. It looks like Vial, but he got tagged. Oh. And it's by Deegan. And Deegan's down. And he and Vial are going to be last, next to last. And this thing has changed in a hurry.
Welcome to Title 24, presented by NB Sports. I'm Ricky Carmichael. We've got Ryan Villopoto as well as my co-host. Before we get going, we got to thank Foxo USA, Quad Lock Case, and always United Motorsports. Appreciate you guys. And RV, let's get right into it. You guys saw the tease right there. Red flag, absolute chaos. And dude, I kind of feel for Deegan. That was he was rolling. I think he had that one in the bag, dude.
I do too. I mean, he was riding really well. You know, Bud's Creek, the track looked really good. I know some of the guys were talking about a little of the line selections, you know, meaning that it was a little bit sometimes hard to pass. I felt like, you know, if you rode the track really hard, kind of like Deegan, you know, started out, I felt like you could make some passes. Had definitely had to set them up. But with the way, with the great start that he had, the position he was in, and then a red flag. And I know it was said on the broadcast, a lot of times red flags are within the first 10 minutes, let's call it, when the pack is more bunched up. But with, I think it was like 30 seconds before, basically halfway, red flag was pulled. Ricky, what do you think? I mean, that's as you know, that's a hard thing to re-rack, get back, clean your goggles, you know, get the heart rate down, and then you spike it again for 15 minutes. Tough situation.
Oh, totally. And I've never personally been in that situation. So I don't know how I would handle it other than like what you said, it's tough, right? Your goggles are pretty much smoked at that point because you're almost halfway. I think they're like 30 seconds from throwing the halfway flag. So yeah, it's tough. And from the best of my knowledge, I know that there was a lot of talk, mm-hmm. you know, on the boards about the re-rack and why didn't they do stagger gate and how Hayden got screwed and a couple guys got screwed. Basically the guys that were up front for the most part, they got hosed on the restart. Yeah. The rule is different than Supercross. That's why they re-racked it.
Okay.
Completely different. And I think if it gets to the 20-minute mark, it's known as a complete race. So if they had made 20 minutes, the race would have been completed. However, they didn't. See what I'm saying? So
they would have pulled the checkered at 20 if we would have been 5 minutes further along.
That's right. That's right. And to the best of my knowledge, and please don't quote me on this, people tuning in, watching and listening, I do not believe they do a staggered start again like they do in Supercross after a certain amount of laps. I think, what is it, in a certain amount of laps, if a third of the race has went by, I think it's a staggered start. If it's less than a third of a race, what is it, full re-rack, restart, right?
Yep.
Something like that. So
okay, yeah, because I was questioning that. I was like, okay, we're basically 15 minutes in. I was expecting a single file re-rack, you know, like they do in Supercross. They get the you know, Thule out there and they let them all go, so they're not all bunched up. I was expecting to see that. So when they re-racked, I was like, wow, this is, being that it was 15 minutes in, like you said, we had a complete flop of turn of events of from what first moto to second or first gate drop to second gate drop. And, you know, it definitely put some people in some bad positions after that. So I was a little bit on the fence about it. You know, I'll be honest. I was like, wow, they're going to re-rack. I'd be pissed if that was me, at least a single file start. You know, you hold your position. Now your gap might be closer or farther, you know, however it is, everybody's close is re-racked and up close together. And it's just basically single file start. So I was expecting that. So I was a little caught off guard, to be honest.
Right. And I know like everyone's getting beat up, you know, Pro Motocross Championship and all that. But now with the partnership that's between MX Sports and Feld, and then now together working with the SMX World Championship Series, what I think will happen after this weekend is I think there'll be a culmination between it. And I suspect that rule will be tweaked. There'll be some more continuity between both series so that basically it's the same rules. So, yeah, I mean, listen, man, it's hard to get it right all the time. Yes, I think a staggered start like they do in Supercross would have been perfect. But at the same time, so we re-rack it, right? And there's always some suspense there. You never know what's going to happen. It's like, oh, and you have that feeling, at least I do, RV, like somebody's going to get hosed.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched the replay and we played it over and over. And in my mind, or actually, I want to get your thought because I said it on the broadcast. Deegan goes down, comes into the first corner. What's your thoughts on that? Rider error, bat wrong place, wrong time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, watching the replay, he came in, he hit the side of VL, right, and it kind of kicked, you know, the rear tire kind of came off the ground, and it looked like the rear tire caught a little bit of air, and then when it stuffed back to the ground, he was still kind of hooked up with VL, and it almost like ripped the bars out of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably a little coming in a little hot, you know, not anticipating, you know, probably VL being there, thinking that maybe VL was going to, you know, let off or give up that position. Not everybody comes into the first turn like Deegan or like we did. You know, there's always some guys that kind of like tiptoe through and try to make smart decisions, where guy like Deegan, he's almost making his own luck in that scenario. He knew that there was a re-rack. He knew he had to get back up front. He was just leading the race. So I don't want to use the words desperation, but I'm sure he knew as soon as that gate dropped that he's like, okay, I got to make something happen here. I don't have the start that I had in gate drop number one, and came in a little hot and got hooked up with VL there, and it just ripped the bike out of his hands. You know, it's kind of a bummer because he was sitting up on a really good inside gate, as everybody knows, Bud's Creek. I mean, famous start 07 for me. Larica, you gave me the inside.
That's a running spot, right? I mean,
you got to go on the inside, especially for how tight. People don't realize how tight that first turn is on TV. You know, like you may be a fifth place guy coming into the first turn, but everybody blows wide and it leaves the inside open. And here you come with the whole shot, you know? So, I think it was a great move, great spot where he picked a gate, and all of that, all the above, except for maybe came in a little too hot, little aggressive. Yeah,
that's what I think. And hey, lesson learned. He's a rookie. He's figuring out. He's learned a lot. I mean, they interviewed his dad, a lot of firsts this year. So it's easy to do. He was excited. I mean, the guy was toting the mail for sure that first moto. I mean, he looked. I just feel like he's making those steps. We've talked about it enough now, like since Washougal. I think he's one of the best, the fastest guys. I think he's made that next step. So little mistakes like that. Yeah, he definitely got in a little hot, ran in the back of VL, goes down. Then, dude, Justin Cooper rode good. Like he withheld the pressure from Hunter damn good, man.
He did, you know, like that. The one thing that, you know, that Coop has, or Justin Cooper has, is, you know, man, he's got the speed, he's got the consistency. Sometimes it's where I think I see the fault with Justin is just sometimes when he doesn't put himself in a great position off the start, it's sometimes mm-hmm. hard for him to come through the pack. You know, but being that he was able to, you know, ride as well as he did. And, you know, like he's the top guy. You know, I think he had said this is what Ironman's going to be, his last 250 pro race. Right.
So, right. Well, I think he's going to do SMX, right?
SMX, but then
last, you know, national.
Last national. And then he'll move on his way up after SMX, the three SMX shootout rounds, you know? So, We know we've already seen Justin on a 450 a little bit in Supercross, you know, held his own. So it's going to be very interesting to see, because I don't put him on my list of being like, okay, when this guy goes 450, he's going to, you know, he's going to do really, really well. I think he will. I kind of look at it as he's kind of got to figure out, like, to me, he's a little docile for the 450 class. So as you all know, it's completely different class, big jump. But I'm looking forward to see what he can do with it.
Yeah. And I think he's strong enough. I mean, like you said, he came in midstream. He didn't start the series. I think he came in Houston. The whoops are pretty gnarly this year. I think you take away the whoops. I know it's Supercross. You're not taking away whoops, but coming in mid season, the whoops were gnarly, especially at Houston. He held his own. He did well. I mean, dude, he's solid. He's going to have to show me some stuff if he's going to be up on the podium all the time. But dude, he's one of those guys. He gets good starts. Like you said, his regular pace, his comfort pace is good enough anywhere from 5th to 10th. Hmm. 5th on a good night, 10th on a bad night. Cause that I feel like those riders in the 5th to 10th group are pretty close in speed. I mean, all the guys are close, but those it's like a musical chairs, a lot like the 250 class. I feel like, I think he'll be a good 450 guy. He's going to, you know, it's going to be hard, to your point, 120%. It's a massive jump, but, I don't know who he's going to ride for. I hope he gets, I hope that the Monster Energy Star Yamaha team sticks by him. He's, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out with Tomac on there, with Coop on there. Are they going to have a third 450 guy? What's the budgets look like? And then, you know, like, it's basically between Ferrandis and him, I would think, if they're going to have a third guy.
Yeah. And what would you do, Ricky, if you're Bobby Reagan, like, what's your, would you, dude, are you going to take it and put your effort into more of a rookie, or are you going to stick with the veteran, you know, as for Dylan?
I'm going to, you realize I'm going to piss whoever.
Yeah, I know. That's why we have this show, Ricky. That's why we have this show.
Come on, stay up. So I think in my opinion, I feel like Ferrandis should probably ride for somewhere else. I think his time has expired at the team, just for knowing the ins and outs and how long he's been there. And, you know, he's talked about the bike. Yes, they have it better. I think that they should get Justin Cooper. I think having a guy like Ferrandis, I think having a guy like Cooper and Eli, I think that'd be a lot to manage. I think Felix would get hurt. I really do believe that. Because I feel like a guy like Ferrandis, who has won a premier championship, he's going to expect the same level of commitment from, you know, that Eli gets and that Cooper gets. I think that they will give a guy like Justin Cooper the attention that he needs. But I don't think that Justin Cooper is going to require that. I think he is pretty, in my opinion, and I could be completely wrong, I do not know this, even though I see those guys all the time. I feel like he's an easy guy and a good guy to have on your team. He's low maintenance for the most part. He's going to get you good, solid results. And I think for a third guy and money, for what you could get him for, I think he'd be a good hire. So I would take Justin Cooper.
Yeah, I agree. Well, all the above, I agree with that. You're going to get a good deal on him. You know, and like you said, I think Dylan, being that a past champion, you got Eli, also in there, that not that that's been new. They've been teammates, you know, in the past. Right. So, I just, like you said, I think maybe a new team would be good for him too. And no matter what, it's business and you got to look at it, you're going to get a better buy on Cooper right now than you would Dylan.
Yeah. Dylan's just a guy. Yeah. I mean, he's a household name.
Yep.
And if he catches fire and he gets confidence, he's going to, he has the potential to be good, and he costs more money. So I just think, you know, from a cap standpoint, I think they're good with Cooper Webb. I think they're good with Eli. And I think a third guy like Justin Cooper would be great. I think Justin Cooper has done great for that race team. So has Dylan Ferrandis, but I think for the money, I think it's the better buy. That's what I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's see here. So that was the first moto. I hated to see Ryder DeFrancisco get balled up on that second start.
Yep.
I think, you know, we've talked about this a couple times, RV. I feel like you have a certain guys that, you know, they're looking to run up front and they just need that one chance to run up there that will help them learn that pace and be like, okay, that guy was doing that. That's what we need to work on this week. And he was in that moment before the red flag. And then obviously the red flag, I think, stole his chances to be in that position.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There was like we talked about it, some guys that ended up in a really good position, first gate drop, red flag pulls, re-rack, gate drop again. And they, if complete opposite scenario. And, you know, I think for Ryder, he was able to really get to, he got a taste of those front runners at Unadilla. And,
right.
You know,
right.
I got to talk to him, you know, talk to Ryder afterwards. And he's like, yeah, I just got tight, you know. And I'm like, yeah, you haven't seen that pace before. You know, you've been running, you know, consistently from like eighth to, you know, 11th, 12th. Now you put yourself up on the box for the first five laps and man, it's like, it's like you can spread your wings. And, you know, some guys, you know, it's definitely tough to go to a track like Unadilla and then all of a sudden pull the whole shot, throw yourself up into the lead.
Yeah.
Settle in third and then try to keep that pace going, you know? So arms maybe blew up a little bit, you know, wasn't expecting that pace. And then, you know, Bud's Creek comebacks out, puts himself in a great position, gets a good start. And then we have the red flag. So he was able to rebound for second, you know, second moto. I think it was a seventh, I believe the second moto. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like he's right off the cusp. He's one of those rookies that, you know, he's right there. A couple more to your point of what you said, a couple more putting himself in those positions and learning and seeing what that pace is right out of the gate. Cause you know, it's like dropping, it's 1,000 horses coming out of the deal there, just wide open. Oh. If you're not used to it, it's bizarre. The difference between fifth and the guy and everybody that's listening, it's really bizarre from fifth through eighth. If you start fifth through eighth versus starting first through third, that first through third pace, those first three laps, ain't nothing like the fifth through 10th or eighth spot in the back. It's balls to the wall.
The intensity is freaking, yeah, a level ahead of what you said. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And another thing, the reason that is, and those guys, and like when you're in that fifth to 10th, like what you're talking about, RV, dude, there's guys going everywhere. So you have to kind of ride a little cautious because you know, guys are moving from right to left. The next thing you know, they hit your front wheel, then you crash. Mm-hmm. So I hated to see what happened after the red flag for him, but he rebounded, had a great one. Also, some notables. Massive shout out to some of the younger guys coming up. Juju, Beaumare, he did great. That I love seeing young guys come out there. Finnis did really well as well, and then Cochran, he was in the mix. You know, that 250 class is so tough. I say it. I think if you can run top 10. In the 250 class, that's respectable, just because everyone is so close. So I love seeing young kids come out there. So they got that's cool. I feel like I like to know what you think about this, RV. But when you're a young rider like that, and you come out and you're able to have success and run up there, run up front, your first race, do you feel like that's a huge step forward? And you kind of okay, now he knows where that eighth to 10th spot speed is. So do you expect that he would be able to do that next week, say going into Ironman?
Yeah, I think the biggest hurdle for some of these guys, you know, that I can't use Deegan example because he came out and lit everything up on fire. So he crushed it. Right. But guys like Juju, guys like Cochran, Ryder, for example, like I think a big stress part of it is where do I fall? Where am I going to come in? Like I winning Loretta's fastest amateur, whatever the case may be, however your trajectory was through amateur. I think the biggest, you know, thing to try to wrap your head around as a guy coming in as a rookie is where am I going to fall? I think the biggest thing is like, if like Juju, for example, stepping out there, having some really good rides, putting it inside the top 10 there for, you know, and just hovering right around the top 10, right outside, having some good motos. I think that's a big confidence builder up. Okay, where do I fall? And if you were able to come out at a gnarly track like Bud's Creek, end of the season, all these guys have lots of, you know, laps underneath their belt compared to you. And if you can come out and throw it up there, I think it's just a big pressure reliever to be like, okay, I'm in the mix. Am I not winning, which is, that's fine. I wasn't expecting to come out and win, but I think to be able to understand, I was like, I'm in the mix right here, my round one. And I know that I'm only going to get better. So I think it's more of a stress reliever, I think, for the kid, for the parents too. It's like, we're in the mix. We're in the mix. We're not way out, right? So we don't have a ton of work to do. Now we have a ton of work to win, but where we want to be these first three, four, five, or first season, we're right where we're in that happy medium spot.
Right. That's good. Second moto, dude, not a whole lot to talk about there. Hunter absolutely crushed it, you know, got a good start. He was up front early, made a couple clutch key passes early. I mean, yeah, it was pretty self-explanatory. Really nothing exciting in my opinion there.
Yeah, I mean, he just, once again, just consistency and keeps knocking off the you know, leading laps and putting himself in a good position. I mean, we're going to talk about it again, and it's not, you know, we won't elaborate on it too much, but, you know, with his points being in the position he's in, I think the one thing that I do see is Hunter's not giving, okay, I got a 22 point lead, or, I'm just going to ride around. He's out there to fight for these wins. And I think that is the number one thing, is it keeps him out of trouble. It keeps him from making mistakes. You know, right now we have Hunter Lawrence with 391, Justin Cooper down 22, Joe Shimoda down 48. So there's some guys that are still pretty close. But Hunter's out there for race wins, and it keeps his mind sharp and on point, riding 100%. If he were to go out there and ride around at 80% and just, you know, cruise it down in with this 22 point lead, as we know, it's motocross. He's already had a bike, fail and things like that. So go out, get every last point you can, and not to mention that those checks.
Yeah. I didn't realize what was Bolin's in front of his teammate Tom Bial there, but we have SMX points, and I want to go to SMX points really quick on the 250. And here you guys go right there. Hunter Lawrence, class of the field. He's got over 120 point lead over Hayden Deegan, who is second in SMX combined points. RJ Hampshire's right there. But if you look from second to fourth, Deegan, Hampshire, Kitchen, that's close. That's really close. That's going to be a good battle. It's going to be tough for those guys, I will tell you. It's going to be tough for those guys to beat Lawrence in the SMX championship, because SMX, just because he has such a big lead. However, with the double points in Chicago, triple points at LA, that gives them guys an opportunity. And here you go. Right there, RV. There's the SMX playoffs overview. Three rounds, Charlotte, Chicago. Points are doubled each round, two motos each round, highest score overall. So like moto, prize money per round, 404,000 total points fund, 5.5 million. This is the first ever playoffs. It's going to be exciting to see. Myself personally, I'm excited to see all of the rounds. I think that the hybrid track, the faster tracks, especially at ZMAX Speedway and Raceway, at in Charlotte and then Chicago, those tracks being faster, that you guys see right there, there is the schedule. ZMAX September 9th, Charlotte, Chicagoland September 16th, and then obviously the Coliseum, which I think will be more supercross based. I think Hayden Deegan's going to be pretty quick at those, and the reason that I say that is because with the higher speed tracks, he hangs it out. I think you need that type of riding style for those courses. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I do agree. I think very interesting with like you said, I look at, we have the first two, right? We have Charlotte, we have Chicago. Yeah. Going to be, I think, kind of similar conditions, similar layout, not similar layouts, but similar conditions at a NASCAR place. I think the kicker for me is going to be, what's our weather going to be like out here in Southern California when we go to LA Coliseum, being that they're going to run the peristyle, and what kind of dirt are they going to bring in? I've seen old videos of the Coliseum. It gets pretty hard packed. So my point, what I'm making is we're going to have on that last round with triple points. Like, I think we're going to have the track play a lot of, upset. Yeah. Upset. Yeah. Yeah. With hard packed blue groove, or is it going to be tacky, ruddy, like kind of Anaheim gets? I know we just had Hurricane Hillary blow through, they call it, you know.
How was it, dude? Like,
it was good. It, we, tons, like, good amount of rain by us at the beach, not really a ton of wind, But I know up in like the mountain areas, they got, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 inches it dumped, you know, so definitely needed it. But my point is I think that way different track conditions for LA than the first two. I think. And if we get the groove and we get the hard pack, are we going to see a little more of a Vegas style at LA, which I think would be, as you know, Ricky, me and you have raced, you know, Vegas, you know, the, for the last round, for the finale out there in Vegas for Supercross. And that track was always, no matter what the layout was, you'd show up and you'd like, you knew that it was going to be blue groove. It was,
dude, it was so roached.
It was a roached track. So my point is does LA get a little bit like that? And it really, you know, the strong, the ones that want can hang it out, the ones that can, you know, ride the blue groove hard pack. Are we going to see some of that, which I hope we do?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be exciting. So that's going to be fun. Shifting gears. All right, let's get into the 450. So we all been talking about all the keyboard warriors, and I know what you and I thought would happen, but, so Jet gets a bad start, right? And he's behind all the main beat players, you name it, Sexton, Ferranis, he's behind all the guys that some of the keyboard warriors would say, and here's a replay of the start of the first moto. And he just kind of gets jammed up, like to what you were saying, RV. It's a very tricky corner. There's Sexton on his right-hand side. And dude, he just starts coming through. And, you know, we talked about how, or I say we, people were talking about how hard it was to pass. Didn't look like it was so hard. So take it away, RV.
I think that I know we've been trying to make up this narrative of who's going to beat Jet and all these things. And you know, I personally think, to your point, what you just said, like we watched him pass through these guys. I think it shows you how much better he is. And it might not just all be off of just a straight up lap time. You know, I know a lot of people are like, oh, Chase is pretty close. Yes, he is close. And I think Chase rode a phenomenal, other than his mistakes that he made, but Jet like was able to slice and dice through these guys. Like you said, they weren't, you know, riding around. AC rode good. Barsha rode good. He was able to make quick work of these guys and come right through the pack, which I think shows you how smart he is on the motorcycle, how much he thinks methodically of making passes. Like that pass was sick right there on AP. If ever, you know, we're watching the replay right now, folks, and right there coming through mechanics here, you got the step up. You could see the front wheel, just it was so vague on the ground. You could see it pushing and moving and catching, and he was floating across that inside and just
it was two wheel drift.
And my point is I think if you watch some other guys, they would, yeah, they could two wheel drift right there, but they might slam into that rut. Jet was able to two wheel drift with the amount of speed he had, and still he was thinking ahead on it. Once I drop in and slam that rut, typically the bike can, you know, unload on the inside. Well, he came in there and he just knew that he had to touch that berm super soft so that he didn't get the unload to the inside, because now you're going left over all those singles. I just think his riding is so much better than everybody else's right now. And that's why I see you the passes like just happen like that.
Everybody listening to Title 24 right now, or who is watching it, depending on if you're on Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page, or you're on Peacock, or you, like I said, you're just listening to it on Amazon Music. What Ryan Villopoto just said right there is some of the best analysis and breakdown of a championship rider from a multi-time champion that you will ever hear. He is exactly right, and that is the difference in a guy like Jet, and then a guy that has had the success like Ryan has had. He knows that, right? And that is, you could not have broken that down any better. And that is the things that I know that RV sees, I see. It's hard to show that and tell that on the broadcast. That's why we have this platform right here with the podcast, and it's just unbelievable. So we're going through that, right? And we got something. Oh, bud. This was unreal. So we got Ken Roczen's tweet. Kenny posts this out. It says, Jet is amazing, no doubt. Extremely talented, mature racer. Yep. Okay. He says, but you'd think the reporters see a good dirt bike rider for the first time in their lives. So what he's implying is that, like they've never seen a good rider. And he was good. Like, that tweet was good until the last sentence, right? He's like, why is everyone so mad? And I said, well, it's that last sentence that got you in trouble, right? And you know, you can't do anything on social media anymore without getting ripped apart. So yeah. you wanted to elaborate on this, RV. Go for it.
Yeah, no. So I love Kenny, buddies with Kenny. I think Kenny's a phenomenal rider, one of the most talented riders that I've seen. I've spent some time with him when I was still racing. He was at KTM at my farm in Florida and training partners. So yeah, I mean, we have been talking about it a lot. I mean, it's been a Hunter and a Jet, mainly a Jet, but both Hunt. It's been a Lawrence Brothers show basically all year, and you got to give them the credit for it, because they're showing up every single weekend. They're making very smart decisions. Kenny himself, and we can use more riders also along underneath of that, but Kenny's a phenomenal rider too. Has the whole package, but hasn't been able to put together taking nothing away from Kenny, but you gotta call a spade when you see a spade. And these two boys right now are leaps and bounds better than the rest of the field. And back to what I was saying, not necessarily all out speed. We watched Chase catch, you know, catch Jet, multiple times. He did it at Unadilla. He did it this last weekend at Bud's Creek.
Washougal. He's done it every weekend,
you know, so it's not what we're sitting here talking about isn't just a straight up speed thing. It's how they think when they race the motorcycle. It's how they approach their during the week, approach their weekend, the decisions they're making, the slicing and dicing that Jet just did through the pack amongst these top riders. You know, that's what I see. That's what I see the difference. And I think that's what has to be talked about, because Kenny is one of the best racers in the world. Eli is one of the best racers in the world.
Great
skills. Like, we're not taking nothing away from anybody else, but those guys are just in a different league right now.
Yeah. I mean, same. So I feel like he's going to be exposed to that come SMX playoffs. I think he's going to see. So Kenny came on, right? And he is super talented, super technical on the bike. Well, I feel like how you were, Kenny, you're listening, watching, you were that guy in 2015, you know, 2014. Okay. Now this is the younger generation. So this is you. And we talked about you doing that. We talked about him doing that, RV, like back in the day, right? When he came in, same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a little bit different. You know, like I said, Kenny's on his getting older. I don't want to use the words on his way out, but he's getting older. You know, he's probably got a few more years, but yeah, it's kind of like deja vu when Kenny was what, you know, not to take away anything. When Kenny was, when we thought he was going to be the next, you know, Michael Jordan, let's say, and then obviously blew his arm up and things like that. And it definitely changed probably a little bit of his trajectory of his career, but Jet's in the same position he was in, when we said those things about Ken. So, you know, taking nothing away from Kenny. I think I just thought we should talk about it, because that's why we're beating the dead dog about Hunter and Jet, because, you know, it hasn't been done for in many, many years this way. I don't think it's ever kind of been done like Jet. So he's in uncharted waters, uncharted territories at this point.
Yeah. I wanted to touch on one thing before we get into Chase Sexton real quick. I wanted to talk, expand on what you were saying and bringing out that great analysis on Jet. One thing he is really good at too is, like, they talked about how the track was one line. Like, okay, well, it didn't look like it was one line for Jet. Jet is really good at taking alternate lines. And when he takes those alternate lines, he doesn't lose time. That is so hard to do. It's basically the same thing like you're talking about, that move past AP. He two-wheel drift into the off the main line, and then two-wheel drift into that rut on the inside of the sand rollers, but he didn't bury the bike in. and he was still able to be fast by doing that, by taking an alternate line. And that's tough to do. And I think if you want to get good in those situations, you have to practice those situations also. So any kids listening, you want to be good at stuff, put yourself in those situations, learn to be fast when the track isn't perfect. And a perfect example of that would be when you're at the practice track, RV. I don't know what you thought about this, but if you had somebody at your farm that was a berm buster, still being able to run good laps when the berms are pushed out and you're able to hop out of a rut early and still maintain that good lap, that's what he's able to do. And that's what's special. That's what's special about him. Chase fell three times the first moto. He said, you can't be doing that. He said that then after the second moto, so we got a little taste of what's to come. He reeled Jet in. Jet, I guess, had some problems. I guess the flag was waved in. He wasn't able to triple. So for sure, we've seen it multitude of times this year. He's been all up on the rear tire of Jet. But he dropped it right after Henry Hill. I couldn't tell. It looked like he maybe hit neutral.
I think watching the replay video that I watched it a couple times. I think he came in the first in down that hill after Henry Hill jumped down Henry Hill and came in a little bit hot. And I think he mistimed when he wanted to let go of the rear brake. And as he went over that single on the inside, the rear tire was, the brake was on and it grabbed and it kind of dropped the front wheel down really quickly is what I saw.
Yeah.
And then it body weight kind of came forward and then just washed the front wheel out. I think in those scenarios, as you know, I know Chase knows, I know all those guys know, as you rip down those hills, you got to get off the brakes, you know, and maybe he just came in a little too hot and had to hold it longer. Cause as you know, if you roll the rear tire off those singles with the brake on, it drops the front wheel. You almost watch Jet, for example, Chase, a lot of times when they're jumping those jumps, you want to lob it off of those insides. And I think that's what he was doing. I just think he might've come down a little too fast. Wasn't prepared for when he kind of, how fast it was coming in there and had to maybe trail break it a little bit longer than he would have liked off the top of it. Mm-hmm. Just a mistake. I mean, that's been his biggest pitfall this year, right? Is he's got the speed. Like we talked before, Chase has the speed. He's just got to stop making those mistakes. And part of that is being that I think Chase reeled him in, he was going a bit faster than Jet. So he needs, I think he also has got to figure out how to make that his new normal, that pace. Right. I Jet's normal pace is what we see of him every weekend. And I still think a little bit of Chase has got the speed. He can run the speed, but when he gets pushed into that to run that speed, you see those little mistakes. So I think that needs to become Chase's new normal, that right. pace.
Yep, exactly. And that leads me before we get into the SMX points on the 450. You know what? We're going to do the quad lock question of the week. It comes from N_J_P. And he's this person is a loyal listener or follower. So we appreciate you. We got to one of his questions on the first ever Title 24, but quad lock question of the week is from NJP. And since we're talking about Sexton, here's the question. It says, is Sexton going to be a genuine title threat in the future if he continues to drop the bike with the regularity he does at the moment? So do you think, well, I mean, if he falls all the time, no, he's not going to be. Let me say something real quick. Last year, this time, I think that we all were saying he's going to be the favorite for 2023. We had every right to do that. He is dogging Eli in the motocross championship, pro motocross championship. I mean, it came down to the last moto, right? Every man for themselves, whoever won the championship. He won the supercross championship. He was in the right place at the right time. That's part of it. That's what you got to do. He had some help. If you call in a spade, like RV said, he was, you know, got to be in it to win it, but he had some luck, 120%. One of the fastest guys for sure. Mm-hmm. He got straight up beat in pro motocross championship. So it's crazy how this was supposed to be his full blown year and be extremely dominant. And he has been fast and dominant at times, I think he'll be good next year, but he's going to have his hands full. So go for it. Wait.
Yeah, he's going to have his hands. So, Ricky, do you think that, I mean, I know you have a lot of experience with Raj. I don't, just only of Motocross of Nations. So that's my experience with Raj. Do you think Raj, because that's a question mark for me, is we see Chase, we see his speed, we see where he's at. He's right there, just needs to clean up those little mistakes. Does the new team, does the new bike, can Roger being under the new tent, can that help him?
Great question. All right. So, I love Raj, love working with him. If you're his guy and you are winning races and you are championship contender, he will fall on the sword for you. He will do everything possible, like most great managers do.
Yep.
Here's how here's how I think it's going to play itself out. And I talked to someone at the Red Bull KTM inside that team this weekend, and they're saying, hey, they're either going to make it better for Chase or they're going to make it worse. It's going to be one or the other. Okay. And if he doesn't come out and he's not winning and you get to round five of Supercross, I think the tone and the vibe and the excitement of being on a new team is going to change drastically. Mm-hmm. You know, Raj is awesome, but also Raj expects you to win. Raj, it feels like I'm sure he feels like that bike is every bit of good as the CRF 450. I haven't ridden either of those bikes, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you which one I think is better because I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Both of them look good in areas. Both of them look like they could be better in areas. So I don't know. All I do know is I feel like you get to round five and he's not dominant and he don't have a few race wins in there and he's not straight up winning. I think there'd be trouble on Front Street, dude. That's what I think. I hope that isn't the case. I hope that I'm wrong. But he's got, you know, he's going to be dealing with the same dude, if not more. I mean, do that. Calling a spade. That's what we do on here. And
I know this is popular
amongst people, but that's the facts, dude.
Yep. No, I 100% agree. If it goes first five rounds and, you know, definitely the temperature is going to change. What I hope to see in the transition and in the switch is to, you know, if you could go off of a play-by-play, go off a Dunge, right? Suzuki, Switch, KTM, completely new platform, like literally a brand new bike for Supercross, and Dunge was able to make it work. I know the bikes are completely different now. It's been years since that was done and since I was racing and Dunge did that type of thing. Right. But I do think that being that he's going to be in his own truck, he's not going to have, you know, not the shadow, but being under the truck with Jet, being under the truck with Hunter and things like that. It'll be his show. But to your point, those first five rounds are so critical. He needs to make sure that he is up there with inside the top three and showing those potential, maybe even just, and I'm talking coming into night show, third practice of Supercross, he puts it up on the board. He's the fastest. Those little confidence builders. Okay. I can do it. The bike's good. This is what it is. Maybe it didn't pan out in the main event, but like we're showing that fire. I think then you can start molding, sculpting and building that around. But if it comes out, you know, like to what your point and not where they all want to be, the temperature of that water is going to be damn cold.
Well, and here's the thing. Now, listen, I want Chase to do well for a couple things. Like now that I'm older, like I don't want him to be miserable. Like I want him to be happy. You know, I want to see him in the pits and be like, dude, this is awesome. And, you're doing a great job. What I do think where Raj will be really good at is little like how he's having these tip overs. I think Raj will be straight up with him. He won't sugarcoat anything. And it'd be like, dude, what in the hell are you doing? Like, what happened here? what happened here? He won't blame anything. I feel like if Chase tries to blame the bike, boom, he's going to nip it in the bud instantly. And I think it's going to force Chase to have more personal responsibility and be accountable for the mistakes that he's making, which in turn should make Chase better and not continue to make those. So that's what that could be a fix for mm-hmm. what is going on also, because I do think that Raj will give him the truth serum. And in the long run, I feel like, you know, Chase might not like to hear that, but in the long run for Chase's career, I think that'll be better for him. That's
what yep. I agree.
So that's enough. Let's go to SMX points real quick on the 450 and check that out. We have a run of the SMX points. So there you go, RV. Chase Sexton has a command lead. He's in great spot going into the playoffs. So only one round left remaining of the Pro Motocross Championship. Keep your eye on Jet Lawrence. He's at 500 points. So that's where it's going to be fun to watch these double points and triple points, in my opinion. And, oh, yeah, don't sleep on Cooper Webb, dude. I think he's got a massive chip on his shoulder. And I think he's going to be something in the playoffs. I really, really do.
I mean, you got to hope for all of that. But man, I was just like you brought up, made a point about Jet and Jet's. You know, he's a ways out, but with the way the points are stacked up and they stack right, and dude, what a storybook ending for Jet if he could clinch that SMX championship also. I mean, what was he about 156 out?
Yeah, he's about 156 out. There you go. So 500, 166
yes.
points.
166, yep. So. That would be bizarre. That'd be cool.
It would be cool. I mean, what's going to happen, and this is what I love about the SMX playoffs, everyone listening and watching. I love the two-moto format. You are going to have to be consistent. And the guys that are consistent, especially in the double points and the triple points, you're going to be able to accumulate a lot. And remember, because the races are shorter, there's the payout. This is a payout for the 450s right there. You see $1 million to win, 500 grand for second, 250 for third, 200 for fourth. Not a massive jump from third to fourth, but dude, if you could go that third to fifth, a hundy, that's a big yeah. jump. So that's what I think. I think that, dude, if you tip it over, the races are going to be a little bit shorter. So you're not going to have time to recover from a bad race. So if you chase Sexton, dude, if you drop it and then these guys are up front. Now, remember, we're going to have Cooper Webb back. Anderson looks like he's starting to get a lot better. It's going to be a packed house. So you're not going to be able to march back up through the field if you drop it in a shorter race.
Well, I was just going to say, I think what we need to put some emphasis on is looking at the payout. So we know the top guys inside the top 10 are fighting. They're making decent money. The top guys are making great money inside so we know where those guys fall. This is the first time that these guys from 10th to 22nd, I mean, 22nd is 25,000, yeah. You know, 21st, 26th, it goes on the way up. That's some dough right there. So I think to your point, what's going to happen is just anything outside the top 10, it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah.
For everybody. So if you do drop it, if you're Chase or if you're Jet or if you're, you know, Barcia, any one of these guys that drop it, don't think you're coming through the pack like you would at round eight of Supercross, like you would here. I think these guys are going to have a whole nother agenda on them for,
I mean, look at right there.
They're enticed by it. Yeah.
Look at right there. Eighth place, 100 grand. That, mm-hmm. I mean, if you're like, that's a lot of money, especially if your guys that if some of these guys that have been injured, trying to pick up a few extra bucks. So they ain't going to be just rolling over. And you brought up a great point. You're right, dude. Just say from eight, say you're leading and you fall down, you get back up, you're in eighth place, right? Or no, you're like 15th. Say you crash on lap three and you're back in 15th. Yes. To your point, catching back up is going to be,
dude, I mean, think about it. Like you said, eighth place was $100,000. Like that doesn't have, you know, we don't see that in our sport. So this is, mm-hmm. this is what's very unique about these playoffs, and consistency and starts are going to be huge, because I can tell you those guys are going to be, it's going to be a very hard fought race if you got to come through the pack. Cause all those guys, they smell blood in the water, boys. They're coming.
That's right. They are. All right, let's pay some bills real quick. I know you got to head out soon. So massive thanks to United Motorsports. Appreciate that, guys. If you're in the Kentucky, Ohio area, they got six locations. Fabulous company. Check out their website, unitedmotorsports.com. Fantastic. Love the people over there. So they got it going on, growing quickly. So quadlockcase.com. Talk about them all the time. These guys, they have a great product. Fabulous. Everyone that we have hooked up, they love it. I got a text the other day from one of my friends in Tallahassee here. Says, dude, the quad lock stuff is really nice. And then, of course, Boxo USA, boxousa.com. That's their site. Some of the best tools in the business, functionality. Their toolboxes are cool because they have this foam, right? And the foam inserts, so your tools go in there perfectly. Everything's organized. It's trick. Promo code is Title24. That's 10% off of all purchases site wide. So make sure you save a little bit of cheddar. 10% off, like I said, Title24 site wide on all of our partners' websites. So make sure you do that.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Before we get into the Ironman preview and get you out of here, RV, got a big weekend on NBC. There you go right there, SMX Insider. Every Thursday, as you know, at 2 p.m., that's on YouTube with Jason Wygant and Jason Thomas. Then Friday, NASCAR Xfinity, 7 p.m. Eastern. That's at Daytona. That'll be on USA Network. Saturday, Race Day Live starts at 10 a.m. at Ironman, 250 and 450 qualifying, live on Peacock. I'll be tuned in while driving down. And then, of course, the races start at 1 p.m. Eastern time for motocross at Ironman. Again, that is streaming live at Peacock. And then 7 p.m. Eastern time, NASCAR Cup Series. I'll be driving the pace car. That'll be live on NBC and Peacock. Then Sunday, the NTT IndyCar Series Worldwide Technology Raceway, 3 p.m. again, Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Great, great weekend of racing on NBC. I'm looking forward to going for Daytona. Try not to stuff that pace car in the fence. It'd be pretty cool. I get some ratings. Real quick, Iron Man, what we got, dude? What do you think? Pretty self-explanatory.
Well, I think I haven't rode Iron Man's track.
It's a good racetrack.
It looks good. It's what I see from it. It looks like it's pretty technical. It gets ruddy. It's got some really you get some really hard base slippery stuff that it gets exposed, but it also has some really tacky areas. So it's got that fix big, it's got some fast sections, big jumps. So I'm looking forward to it. It tends to rain there in the past, right? Like I've seen, I don't know, 50-50 chance. Like it seems like every year it's like, oh, it you know, could rain. So I haven't looked at the weather. Don't know about that, but, I'm just looking forward to it, you know.
I think
it's going to be a good finale round, you know, good
last round. Yeah. Right. I think, key things to, for everyone to tune in. RV, we didn't have a chance to talk on it. Bubble riders in the 250. Styles Robertson is right on that edge. So if you're Styles Robertson, you got to get out there. And then the guys that are above the cut line, make sure you hang on to it. Execution, good starts. So the bubble spots are going to be fun to watch. I'm sure you can check it out. It's on smx.com. They have all that stuff there. So that'd be a lot of fun to see. Faulkner, he's outside looking in after his race this past weekend, which he did really well. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get in on points. So that'll be fun to watch. RV, I want you to tell everyone on Title 24 where you're going today and what you're doing so we can tune in and see what
that's right. We're heading over to, I fly out at 3:45 to London Heathrow, and I'll be there for 7 days. So Ricky, you're going to have to find you a co-host for Monday.
All right.
But no, I'm going over for the Vet MXON. So it's the Vet Motocross of Nations at Fox Hills. Doc Wobbs and Dave King are put on an amazing event. I actually raced it last year, for Team USA. We got another win on there. So nice. Undefeated so far, you know, on MXON. So thank you very much.
Who's on your team, dude?
So last year we had myself, Brownie, and Osborne. This year, it's Tyler Bowers, Brownie, and Osborne. I had to be that guy and leave him hanging. I haven't rode, as you know, Ricky, I'm still fast enough to.
There it is.
I'm still fast enough to get myself out there, and I will put myself in trouble. So I figured this year for myself, swinging a leg over the motorcycle, and not having any preparation. And what I mean by any preparation, like literally off the couch, I figured it wasn't a very smart idea. So I opted out of the racing, but I'm going over for a great time, autographs, go see everybody's so friendly over there amongst Doc Wobbs and Dave King and the whole event. It's just rad. I love going to Europe.
What a special opportunity to see all you guys and legends. And, you know, like you think about those people over there, you know, they haven't been exposed to someone like yourself. So it's certainly special. I'm glad you're going over there. I want you to be safe. Keep it up. Keep the two wheel, keep the shiny side up, brother.
That's right. No, we will. We're I think we'll do the Legends lap is what we'll do. And as for that, we're going to watch some good racing. I know like Tommy Searle's racing it, Neville Bradshaw. There's some Brad Anderson. There's some heavy hitters.
Right.
You know, that are still racing like British GPs or current, you know, smaller things, not MXGP or, you know, racing here in the States, but nevertheless, those guys can rail.
Oh yeah. They can rail. Well, good luck.
All right.
Another good show. Thank you everyone for listening. We appreciate you guys. You guys are incredible fans as always. Thanks for commenting and liking and all that fun stuff. Remember, you can always check us out live, on Peacock. It's always our on-demand on Peacock or the Motorsports on NBC's YouTube page, of course. And then if you just want to listen, make sure you go to Amazon Music. Just go to amazon.com/NBC Sports to get all the podcast shows. You can get and you can listen to us if you don't have the availability to watch. Again, appreciate United Motorsports, Quad Lock Case, and Boxo USA for being a partner. And RV, we will find someone to fill in next week, and you will be back. It will be before the first inaugural SMX.
That's right. I will be at all three of those SMX rounds. We will be doing Race Day Live.
So, dude, breaking some news.
Breaking some news right here on Title 24. Yep, so we're doing it. Yeah, we're nice. Good.
I love it. All right. Well, good luck over there. Again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to RV and I's podcast. We'll see you next week.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.